Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's one of the chapters where some preachers love to preach this chapter and some preachers don't. And I think you'll find out soon why. 1 Corinthians 9, I'll go on and tell you, talks about supporting ministers and those who are proclaiming the gospel. That is to pay them for their labor. And this is the main chapter within the New Testament that talks about that. Now, if you're looking at this chapter, that's not the whole point of the chapter. The point of the chapter is Paul is talking about his right. And if you remember last week in 1 Corinthians 8, some of the people were saying, we know that all these idols are false, so we can go into those temples, eat the meat, sacrifice to them, and we think we have the right to do that because we recognize these are not real gods. But when they did that, they ended up hurting other Christians who didn't have that foundation and understanding about the one true God, or that they've been led back into the worship of pagan worship. And we want to make sure that we certainly stay away from such error and leading others astray. And so Paul comes here and he's talking to this church and he says, you know, I have a right as a preacher of the gospel to receive pay and support for my labors. And he says, but I haven't used it. And for the most part, Paul avoided using it. He worked with his own hands and many times to demonstrate to new churches as he came through his sincerity. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go further. But this world is continuously questioning the motives of others. And when we think about our politicians, you turn on the television and you think about different commentators, different news reporters, different politicians that are going on, and what they're saying, you wonder about that. It might be different views in your workplace and school and different things that you're hearing. You wonder about what's the motives behind it. Like, you know, I think they're really saying that for this reason. And we might get very curious about that. And so the same thing is happening with Paul here. And it's a very interesting thing with the Apostle Paul and with other ministers and who are preaching the gospel at the time, where it is said that, well, if he was really a good minister, somebody would be supporting him and giving financial support, or the church would be supporting him. And you can hear that kind of talk. On the other hand, someone might say, well, he's really a good minister, he should be supporting himself and not taking any pay. And so you can see, it didn't matter where he was going, there are people out there who will attack you on either side. And I've known a lot of preachers who've had to face this. But we're going to look at what Paul has to say on this tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hopefully go on and encourage us a little bit further on what he says about this right. All right, so the Apostle Paul upheld his apostleship, and he says, as he saw Jesus, he says he was sent by God, sent by Christ to teach the gospel, and so he goes to Corinth. What Paul's going to say later on is he says, I'm going to preach either way, by necessity. And most preachers will tell you that. You know, whether they have support or not, or whether they're vocational, whether it's partial support, you're not going to keep them from doing the work of ministry. And I know that's certainly true for me. You're going to do the work wherever you are. And it's a blessing to be able to have that support. But listen here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. 1 Corinthians 9, 3 through 6, Paul says this. He says, this is my defense to those who would examine me. So you can tell something's going on here, and they're making accusations. Paul, again, used a little bit of sarcasm here and his wit as well to make the point. He says, do we not have a right to eat and drink? Well, of course, Paul. Do we, and he's saying we as those who are preaching, himself, he'd be Apollos, and specifically Barnabas is who he's talking about. He says himself and Barnabas. Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife as do the other apostles and brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I have no right to refrain from working for a living? Now in Greek it really says from working for a living. And evidently Paul's not saying that ministry and preaching is not a work. He is using this as kind of exposing the accusations against him. Oh, but that this is not a real labor, it's not a real work. Again, he's using a little bit of sarcasm here. So it says, do we not have the right to eat and drink, and then also to take along a believing wife? I remember in a discussion, I had one man came forward, and he said, if you were a better minister, and he actually said this to me, you'd be paid more. And that's what he said to me. And I thought, this is a very strange thing for him to say. And then I had the same man come to me a later time, and he said, you know, we shouldn't give you enough to support your family. We should just pay you enough to support you. And it didn't make any sense. But what my point is here is that these kind of accusations amongst false brethren, you can hear them, and I think they're really exposed right here. So if you ever hear that kind of talk within a church, you know, those should be red flags. Other things to note here, I think, below the surface, just to comment, and I think right here I'm going to back up a little bit. So he talks about the other apostles. What are the other apostles doing? They're preaching. And the implication is that they are married and they're receiving their living from preaching, proclaiming the gospel to other churches. It also mentions the brothers of the Lord. So Jesus has four brothers. Evidently, they've all converted and come to believe, and that they are preaching the gospel. Historians often point to this passage right here as a major confirmation of that. Even those who are critical scholars will say, okay, it appears that Jesus' own brothers were converted, and specifically James, from the resurrection, and now they're preaching the gospel throughout the world. So again, that's another strong evidence for the faith. So Paul was supplying the same principle of not using his right. So as these people, that, as we mentioned last week in 1 Corinthians 8, were saying, well, we have the right to do whatever we want, eat whatever we want, do it what we want to do, it ended up hurting other brethren. Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't use this right. I came to you just teaching the gospel of Christ. I wasn't demanding anything from you. I just wanted you to be saved. And as we continue to read in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul is willing to do anything for that matter. As I mentioned before, false brethren often challenge preachers, anybody in a teaching position, sometimes by their status, whether they are paid or not paid and things like that. You might have been challenged sometime because of that. Well, you're not the preacher, so you don't know what you're talking about. Maybe you heard that before. Or you're not an elder or not a deacon. Sometimes it's a matter of status. I've had people say to me, well, you're not preaching in a congregation that's large, so evidently, you know, there's no weight to what you're teaching or what you're saying. So you hear things like that. And that might seem strange to you, but I've come across it very much. But the false brethren often expose themselves in doing that and challenging. All right, living by the gospel. Let's see what the scripture says here. The apostle reasoned with the church that those preaching and teaching should receive their living from the gospel. And he gives examples here. So I'm not going to read everything tonight, but I want you to look at these passages here. In verse 7, he says, don't soldiers, do they ever go to war at their own expense? He says, no, somebody else is providing for them to do that work. They're paying for their livelihood. Farmers, do they not partake of what they sow? Yes. And what they reap? Yes, in their labor. Shepherds, do they not live by their trade? He says, yes. He says, the one who plows the field and the thresher of the field, don't they make a living? And he uses the example from the Old Testament of not muzzling the ox while he's treading out the grain. And that's something that's throughout Scripture. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Scripture is applied. It says you need to honor elders who do double labor. Not only the elders, but they teach and they preach that they need double honor. The word for honor there means pay. In fact, the verse right after that says, don't muzzle the ox. If you've got an elder doing full-time work, he needs to be supported in that. So the plower and the thresher deserve to live from their labor. Those who serve in the temple, he says, the priest, and at the altar, they partake of the sacrificial offerings. They're allowed to, they're given to this. They have their living made from serving in the temple that was in Jerusalem. And so Paul uses all these examples to come to this conclusion. This is it right here. Chapter 9 and verse 14, he says, in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. And so this is what Paul wanted to communicate to them. And I think Paul, he's not specifically focusing on himself, but I know he's thinking about Barnabas, and he's thinking about Apollos, and he's thinking about other men who labor among the church at Corinth. And if everything that we've studied about Corinth, would you not admit that they need ministers? They need preachers. They need examples and leaders in that church. They don't appear to have elders or deacons. There's nothing mentioned in the text about it. But they certainly need men like Apollos and those who are teaching the gospel to be among them doing this. And they need to be supported in that work. It is definitely a full-time work in this church. This church is probably over 200 members and is well in need of those things. And I think this congregation here probably knows what it's like to go without a full-time minister and know the need that's involved in it. The congregation I came from, Dean Road, they're experiencing that right now. It's been about almost a year now for them looking for the next minister and evangelist. They know they need that help. So Jesus also did this. Some have often said, well, Jesus worked with his hands. He did. He was, for much of his life, he had another trade as a carpenter. And we see that Paul was a tent maker, and he used that trade sometimes to support himself. And I think that's a good thing. But Paul's going to say here, that is the right of the preacher. It's not the right of the congregation and those who are following to make that decision. It's his right to make that decision. So Jesus, if you go to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, you find that he has support and financial support, and that there are women and wealthy women who support and contribute to him and to the disciples and the work that they were doing. Back then in the Jewish community, preachers, rabbis would go around preaching, and this is how they made their living. They studied God's word, and they would preach on the Sabbath day, and they were supported in doing this work. And a lot of them were traveling around the country and doing that. And they took along other disciples with them that were able to be supported. And so we continue a little bit further into 1 Corinthians 9. The minister has a right not to receive material payment, but it is his decision. Listen to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 9, 11 through 12. If we've sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. So if those who are questioning the motives of a preacher, you see Paul willingly here saying, you know what? I'll support, I will work on my own, I'll do whatever I can to show you that I'm not about money, I'm about teaching the gospel. That's what I'm about. The way that others can do that today, and I think ministers can do that today, is by going the extra mile in the work that they do, is not just do the things that they're expected to do, but to do more than that. And I think that's a very important thing. And I think what you find with successful preachers and ministers today, that is what they do, and they seek to go that extra length. Here's going to be a part of our reading tonight, 1 Corinthians 9. Look at verses 15 through 18. As far as the most practical, I think, for every Christian is to read Paul's words here. Look at his example in verses 15 through 18, and we'll make some observations here. So chapter 9, 15 through 18, Paul says, "But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision." He's not asking for it for himself. He says, "For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting." Now, if you know Paul, he makes light of boasting. He mocks it. These preachers and the false teachers that are going around that we read about in 2 Corinthians, they're going around boasting about how well a speaker they are, how many people come to them, how much income they have. They boast in those kind of things. Paul doesn't. He says, "I'd rather die than deprive," and he's using again a little bit of sarcasm here, "of my ground of boasting." Verse 16, he says, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for a necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." And I'll just stop right there and say that every Christian should feel that way. It's a necessity for me to believe the gospel and to share it with others. And that's how Paul, that's what he believes. That's the core of who he is and why he goes throughout all the world. He has the ability to do that. He has the ability to adapt in preaching the gospel. We're going to get to that in a moment as well. But look at 17 and 18. "For if I do this of my own will, I have no reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship." And so Paul's saying, in one hand, yes, he's doing it on his own, but on the other hand, he's doing it because he feels compelled to do it, because God has given him the mission to do this. He has a stewardship, something he's been entrusted with. Look at verse 18. "What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel." It is his decision that he's made here, not to use his full right here. So Paul did not write to secure his right in having provision given to him. Paul mocked boasting because he set aside his right. He found no ground for boasting in preaching because he preached for necessity. He was entrusted with a stewardship, and we see here that his reward, what we're going to keep reading here, his reward is this. Because he's willing to make this sacrifice, he believes he's even further, he knows that he's been further blessed by God to share Christ in such a great extent and to reach so many people. And I think that's very true in the way that he lived. And the same thing is true of Christ and of the other apostles. And we're going to look at that a little bit further. But how much should Christians adapt to win more to Christ? Because that's what we've been reading about tonight. Paul's willing to give up his right, his privileges, his claims. And again, what we're going to read in chapter 10, what we read in chapter 8, is that we have a bunch of Christians who have become so self-centered that it's all about them. That it's all about them declaring, this is my right, my ability, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't care if it hurts others. Paul says, I'm willing to give up and make sacrifices so that I can win others to Christ, that they'll be saved. And so this is what we see here. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, he says he makes himself a servant to all. And that is the point, that a minister is a servant to everyone. He says, I am able to make myself a Jew to those who are Jews, to those who are under the law, as though under the law, as though, and to those who are outside the law, as though those outside the law. And listen to this. He's making a point here to these Christians. He says, even as a person with weakness, I become as weak. And what he's saying here is a person that we read about in 1 Corinthians 8. Remember, they were weak of conscience. He says, if I recognize that my brother in Christ has a weakness, and as we talked about last week, if their weakness is in drinking, I'm not going to take them somewhere where they're going to be exposed to alcohol. Their weakness is gambling. I'm not going to take them somewhere where they're going to be even more exposed to it, even a little bit. We're going to be aware of the temptations that are around these certain sins and these weaknesses. And so Paul here is making the same claim. He says, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I'm not going to offend others and that I can bring them to Christ. And what I think is also amazing here is that Paul has the ability to adapt. He knows what it's like to live as a Jew. He knows what it's like to live under the law and outside the law, that is, not being under the law. And he knows what it's like to be weak. He's able to relate to others and to other believers. And he knows how to win them to Christ. And he knows how to keep them faithful. And I think Paul sets a wonderful example of what we have read and seen tonight of his willingness. In the end, false teachers will often go too far. They're going to expose themselves. And I think that discerning Christians are going to be able to see and know who are really sincere gospel preachers. And you'll be able to see, you know a tree by its fruits. The Apostle Paul was an example, and he disciplined himself in every way as not to misuse his rights. And so this is what I want to finish with tonight. The end of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul illustrates this. He says someone who's running a race, someone who is a part of athletics, they discipline themselves. And he says, what I'm willing to do is give up my rights. I will discipline myself. I will discipline my body and keep it under control to win others to Christ. Listen what he says. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now the Christians there have been disqualified, many of them, because they've offended and led others to sin. They offended Christ. They sinned against Christ. Remember, we read that and we studied that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And Paul's making the point here to go the extra mile, to make the sacrifices as a Christian, to look out for your brothers and sisters in Christ who are weak. And Paul is an excellent example of that. And I encourage you tonight, let all Christians live a life that's sincere and pure in our motives. And I hope that our brothers and sisters in Christ see that. I know tonight on Sunday night, we often, what I've described as having the core of the body and the congregation that come back together. And I hope that the community and those around us that we're able to influence see who we are, that we're sincere, pure in our motives, that we simply want to teach the gospel of Christ and show the love of God to those around us. And I hope that tonight we're able to further understand that, willing to make the sacrifices to do that, to show our love to others. Tonight, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, the Bible says that baptism is what joins you to the church of Christ, the church that Christ built. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 says, "For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body," talking about the church. So tonight, if you haven't put on Christ in baptism, you need to be and partake of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which is the gospel that saves us. You can do that. You need prayers and encouragement. We encourage you to come right now while we stand, while we sing.